In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. May the Lord bestow upon us his grace and his blessing now and forever into the ages of all ages, amen. Today we have the blessing and the mystery, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Church teaching us and reminding us about who Christ is. And this, of course, is no mystery to us in one way, but it is the mystery of godliness, which St. Paul says that he has revealed to us who have the hope and the promise of being baptized in his name. They would always mention the name of the Lord in various prayers and supplications of the Church, and they held the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to be the name above every name. And what is his name, if I were to ask you? There are hundreds of names mentioned in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, about who God is. But of course, the proper name which he received is Jesus Christ. Jesus to tell us that he is the Savior of the world, and Christ to tell us that he is the Anointed One. Christ comes from the word, whether the Hebrew Messiah, which the Arabic comes Messiah, and also the Greek Christos, which comes the word Christ that we have in English. And so for this, we know that the one who is the Christ is the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, there were three types of people that were able to be with a specific anointing. There was a general anointing for the people, as we have a general anointing for the Christians, but there was a specific anointing for the kings, the priests, and the prophets. And they would have a special horn of oil that they would use to be anointed with. Even the commandment for Moses to anoint Aaron as the high priest. And you have the story of Samuel who goes and anoints David as the king. And you have also the anointing of Saul and all the kings and all the priests and all of the prophets. But you don't have in the Old Testament a king who was a prophet and to have all three to be a king, a priest, and a prophet. You have David, who was a king and a prophet. And you have Saul, who was also a prophet and a king. And you have others who were priests and prophets. But we don't have someone who was all three. Why? Because the fullness of time, the fullness of revelation of the Savior would have all three. The king, the priest, and the prophet. And in this gospel reading that we reveal, God reveals to us, these three in the time of his temptation. You'll notice in the first verses of this gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, and while he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But previous to this, you find another event which leads to this. And what is that? That is the baptism or theophany or epiphany that we celebrate. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon them as the form of a dove, and the Father declares from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This manifestation of God marks for us the anointing. And from this point, we declare with all boldness that this is the Anointed One. Anointed to do what? Everyone who was anointed, it was for a purpose. As if you have a title or a badge or permission to do a certain work. And what was the work that he was to do? Isaiah declares to us in the 61st chapter, the first three verses. He tells us that he was anointed to preach to the poor, to proclaim the message to the captives, to go and to seek all those who are lost and troubled, and to set them free, to give them comfort and to give them hope. And this is the Anointed One. There were many anointed, but when you find this article, the Anointed, we know that it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean when the devil comes to tempt the Anointed One? In terms of being a prophet, the prophets of God spoke the word of God to the people, and many times they listened, as with Jonah the prophet, and many times they didn't, as with Jeremiah the prophet, every time he spoke and wept and tried to urge the people to hear him, they did not listen. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his message, gave the message of salvation, that he was the bread of life, that he is the living water, that he is the one who will save them for their sins. And many people accepted and ran to him and ate from the bread that he blessed and followed the disciples. And many rejected and criticized and judged. And for the devil to come to test and to see if he is truly the prophet, he told him, turn these stones into bread. Although he was the one who was going to give the bread to the poor, one of the saints says, how can he, who is the bread of life, hunger? How is he the one who is the living water, thirsts on the cross? How is he the one who is rich, ends to be poor? And this is the great mystery of godliness, which one of the early hymns in Philippians 2 declares to us, that he took the form of a servant. So he's telling us, don't be confused as the devil was, who was unsure, is this really God in the flesh who did all these things and who slept and who ate? And he was baffled because of the humility of the Lord. So he tells him, worry about yourself. Aren't you hungry? Perhaps one of the first times the Lord experiences this hunger. And that he says, I am hungering and giving up bread and drink for you. You, O Lord, are have no sin, and yet you fast for my sake, to take away my sins and to teach me the way of godliness. But the devil says, aren't you hungry? Turn these stones into bread. Worry about yourself. And this is the first temptation that we have of all physical things, whether it be bread, whether it be riches, whether it be necessities of the body, whether it be sickness, or what it be, or even the threat of death. The second call or title that we give the Lord and that he reveals himself of is the high priest. And as you know, there were many high priests, and there are many priests in the Old Testament. And this was the priesthood of Aaron. But the Lord as high priest, St. Paul explains, is different than all the priests, whether in the past or the present or in the future. And he gives him the title of high priest. What is the job of this priest? He says he is anointed as the priest to suffer. And he reveals in the book of Hebrews that he is weeping and crying out with vehement cries and sorrows for our sake. So in Gethsemane and on the cross, the Lord was suffering and the Lord was weeping for our salvation. He comes and looks at each soul, saying, you whom I love and I created, will you not accept this? I offer you all that I could offer, my life, my tears, my blood, even the sweat which turned into blood, I offered and gave to you. And this who will be the priest of all creation, as we say. The devil could not stand even this. And so what does he tell him, the high priest? This comes in the final, or the third in this gospel reading, which is throw yourself down, if you really are. Before it was worrying about the flesh, he says, now I know that you don't worry about the flesh. Sometimes in our temptation, at first we worry too much about the bodily things. And after someone grows in the spiritual life, maybe after he gets encouraged, and he goes to the other extreme and thinks that there's no limitations for me, to the point where it leads to pride and arrogance. That's why they always gave, for example, the father or the spiritual guide to guide one to see that it doesn't go too far to being lazy and to be careless about the spiritual things, and not to be, as it's mentioned in the Bible, the overly righteous, those who do not think and go to preach only to the people, and yet he himself, as we do each Sunday. One time St. John Chrysostom was preaching to the people. He was very tough with the people. In the back of the church, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ appearing on his throne in glory. And in the middle, he stopped. And he said, I couldn't continue. But afterwards, when I came to serve the people, I remembered the presence of Christ among us. And so as each one who is called to the ministry or to a ministry would also to have this obligation and this reminder. The other title, which is the king, and he is to be the king of kings. Originally, the father did not intend for man to have the kings of Israel. He had preferred to have the judges and for the people to rule and for God to rule above, to be manifested in his church. But when the people insisted, he said, okay, let it be. But you will see in the end, he says, see what the kings did. And if you look and follow, many of them were good, but many of them were not good. And when they weren't, the people suffered. But the Lord here is coming to say that he is the king of all kings. So the devil tempts him and says, shows him all the kingdoms, it says. It says, if you bow to me and worship me, I will give you all these things. Of course it was a lie, because he doesn't have the authority of all those things. And that it wasn't in his power even to give to God anything. God is the giver of all. But in a final attempt, he tries to get each person to worship him in this disguised form. So come now and let us reason together and see, what do these blessings of the king, priest, and prophet, and what are these temptations of a king, priest, and prophet, do we receive as Christians? Because the anointed one, who is Christ, is not just an image for us, or just a picture that we meditate upon, but it for us is the example by which we follow. And so each one who is baptized in the church receives the oil and is anointed and is called Christos or Christian. And each one also receives the three promises or three blessings, which is the priest, the prophet, and the king, but in a different way. Not to say that each person is a priest and can offer the sacrifices as we offer, but we will refer to it as a ministry and as a service. As St. Paul says in the book of Romans, that each of you would offer to God the living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And so for each Christian to be able to offer a sacrifice to God, there's the sacrifice of praise and glory, which is spoken about in Jeremiah. There's a sacrifice of time. There's a sacrifice of energy when you come to the church tired, or when you go and serve the sick or the needy. There's a sacrifice each day even for prayer, which sometimes we say, I'm too tired to pray. It's too late for me. The church is too long. I'll condense it and come halfway. I'll compromise and do this or that. Or the teachings and the commandment are too harsh. The fastings of the church are too long. Why do we have so many 50 days and 55 days, and you're increasing for us the fasting? No, it's only for the priest and for the deacon, some may say. Of course not you. And then they would say that, no, this is the one who has his life full of the love for God, wishes to give and to offer all. For example, take the three holy youth. They endured the same three. They were princes. Some say they were related of royalty. And when they came and they were taken to Babylon, they left all of their dignity and they came to be the servants of the king. And in this, the same temptation came. They said, eat from this food. No, we're fasting, we take only vegetables. They could have been killed for this request, according to the Babylonian law. But when they made a bold stand and saying, we are fasting, why are you fasting? Because the city of Jerusalem is in destruction, because the sin of us and for all the people. So let us fast and repent. And there were many other Jews in the area. This was not just the declared fast that we have in the church. This was, of course, the personal fast, the extra fast that they had offered to God. Then they were given many luxuries that they had refused. And also they were said as the same that the Lord was told by Satan, just bow down and worship, I will give you all these things. So all of the people were assembled also to worship the image of the king. They said, we don't worship gold or silver or any of these. We only worship the God of gods. And so they made this sacrifice and this offering to God. What was the final sacrifice? Because they wouldn't do the first two of the prophet or of the king. But they said, we will be thrown even into the fire to offer our lives as a sacrifice to God. And they knew before, when you read in the book of Daniel, in the full version, which unfortunately many Bibles don't have the full story, but it's in the original, it says that God, our God, will save us. He has the promise to save us. And even if he doesn't, we will still go in the fire. But they knew, because they said, we will offer the sacrifice. How many of us are willing to offer even more than we are required? We say, to give, we say 10%. Say, I give my 10%. But the one who is full of the heart of God says, I will give even to my most, even as the widow who gave all she had. So the one who loves much will give much. The one who loves much will pray much. The one who loves much will sacrifice much. And there will be no limits. They will not take the limitations even that are given to them. So this is the sacrifice. We come to God with a sacrifice. We come to God also to throw at his feet any sign or symbol of authority that we have, whether it be titles or whether it be the blessings that we have been given or by others. And we receive from him also the crown. When do we have a crown given to us? In the church. By the church? In the church. Every baptized person, usually they would give a little crown. And sometimes even for the little babies, you see how they dress them, to give them a crown. To remind us of the promise in Revelation that you are kings and priests. You have been given the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. You have also been given the authority to move mountains, if you will. And so we have the power, just by being Christian, to have a great authority and a promise that it's reminded of. And you'll find it also in every sacrament. Either we put a crown or we put oil. So in sacrament, for example, of baptism and chrismation, we anoint them with oil many times, and then finally with the maroon for the chrismation. And in the unction of the sick, we said with the first one, we give them the crown of the oil, just as they did in the Old Testament. And for the baptized, they get a nice crown. For the priest also, he receives the crown, depending on the level. And even we have the crown which is given for each married person in the time of their wedding. They receive the crowns to remind them, you are kings and queens. You have been given a high call. Be faithful to this calling and use what you have been given diligently and faithfully. And you look in the book of Revelation what the priests did with their crowns. Do you remember? They threw them at the feet of the Lord and to offer incense. And this is the job for us. You'll notice and you'll find that every time we do righteousness and fall in the path, that God is rewarding us with continual blessings, visible and invisible. And sometimes when he rewards us more than we think, we try to give away. I remember once a person, he came and said, I had a problem. I have a problem. What's the problem? He said, I was giving 10%. And then after giving, I found that I got a promotion in my job. So what's the problem? He said, then I gave 15% because God, I felt, was so gracious to me. He said, then I got a raise. So I said, I would give 20%. And he said, Abuna, this kept continuing until now I'm giving 80% and I still can't. He said, we can't beat God. Continue what you're doing. Of course, it's not for everyone. God says, when you give the tithes, test me in this. But that he is faithful to us in every gift. And even if we don't see it here, we're not giving so that we would necessarily get and receive the 80%. But he said, you will receive 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Not necessarily here, but we have the promise of the internal blessings. So those who are faithful to give, he is faithful to reward. And he doesn't let any person who offers, whether it be time, whether it be energy, whether it be a tear, as the priests who offered, were supposed to offer the tears for the people, as Jeremiah, as Nehemiah, as all of the righteous people, they wept not just for their own sins, but for the sins of the people. And God says, your tears, I have them in a bottle. They're so precious and valuable to me that I will preserve them. Come, let us see how we can fight against the temptations. The devil says, you are a king. I will give you some things, a few things. Just come in this direction. We say, of course not. I'm willing to give all I have to be the servant to the Most High God. He says, why not this food? Why not this? And give us things to dazzle our eyes, whether it be houses, cars, iPods, whatever the possessions it may be. And we go and run and follow, this is what I need, this is what I need. And he's very happy, as one of the fathers says, is dancing to see us leaving the blessings of God and chasing after the physical things. You look and see the advertising, all the advertising now, mainly for food, or for drink, or for possessions. What else will you advertise? So occasionally you find some advertising for a good deed or to benefit the poor, but most of it, the world and society around us telling us, this is what is important, chase these things. The Christian says, no, I am chasing for the fight of the Christian fight, pursuing the blessings. And all these things, even if I have, I'm willing to give and sacrifice for the name of the Lord my God. He says, but aren't you tired? Rest a little. I said, no, I will persevere in my struggle, in my vigil. I will keep watch. He said, sleep. He would go sometimes even to St. Anthony in the desert and try to scare him not to pray or not to enter into vigil or keep watch. But they had this diligence that they were willing to be the soldiers that fight for the blessing. We know that we have received all these things, and we come to God giving him our crown. We come to God giving him our mouth as the prophet. We say, open my mouth and fill me with your spirit so I may preach and give the word to those who are not just this word, but anyone who you find that is suffering needs the word of comfort. Anyone who you find that is in trouble needs consolation. Someone who is in despair needs the word of hope. Someone who has lost needs a word of light. And so for you, as the prophet of God, need to carry the message of God. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let this word be in you as a fire that gives light to those who are lost and that gives strength and hope. Be careful for each word that proceeds from our mouth, because we know that we shall be judged for them. And be as the true prophet, the anointed prophet, because even the mouth in the chrismation is anointed for this. And we will receive, as we read in the Pauline epistle, the prophecies. He says, everyone has a prophecy, everyone has a gift, some apostles, some. So each one has different gifts that they must work for the glory of God to unite his church. Let us proceed by throwing the crown, by giving the mouth of praise and glory, and also by our hands and feet when we come to serve as the priest. You notice the high priest, he was before slaughtering and killing the lamb, but Christ said, I am the lamb and the one who is offering the lamb. I am the high priest and the one who is being offered. Someone says, how could he be anointed if he's God himself? St. Athanasius says, no, he is the anointed and the anointer. He anoints as God, and he is anointed as man to fulfill for us the divine promise. So this for us, when we say, how can I offer myself as a sacrifice? When I seek to do the things, I crucify my hands so that it won't do the wrong, but is fixed to his cross, which I will carry faithfully and diligently. Let us seek to glorify him who is due all glory now and from the ages, all ages. Amen.